Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The literal meaning of Toba is to turn. From the far side to the close side, you are far away from Allah Ta'ala. Now you talk about a complete turn close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the literal meaning of Tawbah, a complete turn. So the Tawbah will only be complete if there is the type of resolve in your life. It mustn't be something done out of convenience. Ek waqti maslihat ke matahat na honi chahiye. For convenience now, and then again we'll go to our old ways. So that's not Tawbah. Tawbah is a resolve, a determination, a resolution that you have taken within yourself, between you and Allah Ta'ala, that I'm leaving this, I'm going on another end completely. I used to, for example, be in overdraft, interest, and usually I'm leaving that entirely and going on to another end. Now this is called Tawbah. He left it out and he went to another end. I used to not be concerned about my namaz. This was my one life. Now I've taken a U-turn. Total turn in my life. Now this is the Tawbah that is acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I used to be aggressive in my speech. I used to be not careful about the words, choice of my words. Now I'm very, very particular about it. So I've taken a total turn in my life. This is called Tawbah. There was one wedding somewhere in Rampur somewhere. There was a wedding. So the girl's father, he invited all his family. The family refused to go come because his tongue was very abusive on the tongue. Swears, dirty languages. So now we're going to go there and he's going to swear us, he's going to be aggressive, he's going to use an abusive, filthy tongue. Then we'll feel embarrassed. Now why must we go there and get ourselves embarrassed unnecessarily? Why must we get insulted? So he said, no, I made Tawbah now. Now I'm not going to do that any longer. So now, aapke kasmon ka koi bharosa nahi. We don't trust you at all. Chalo hum Shah Wilayat ke paas chale jaye. There's a great buzurg in India. His mazar, they call it Shah Wilayat. Like how we have Badshah Piriya. And we have Sufi Sahab. Right? So there in India they have Shah Wilayat. So we'll go there and there you must take an oath. In Shah Wilayat Sahab's grave. That you will never use any abusive languages. So now I will do that. Anything people say. He wants the people to come. His daughter getting married, if nobody is going to grace the occasion, you can imagine the type of embarrassment he will suffer. That my town people that were not connected to me, they came. My own family could not support this occasion of mine, they didn't grace this occasion. So it will be a total embarrassment, insult for me. So it will go to Shah Wilayat. So they came up to Shah Wilayat. And here he says, Hazrat, this family of mine, they are insisting on me that I take an oath that I will never use any abusive languages in future. And see, Hazrat, I'm making a witness that in future I will never use any such words. And in that, he used 1-2 swear words again. You know? Aisi waisi baat kabhi nahi karunga. In that aisi waisi, he used 2-3 words again. They saying is, no, I'll never do it again. In that, again, he used a couple of words. Now they had a big laugh and they said, no, ye aadmi to mazoor hai. He is excused, you know. He is excused. A swear word is part of his nature, now it can't come out of him. So they held him as a man that is exempt from this law, this qaida. But that was his smartness, that was his shrewdness, that he didn't want them to block him completely. Had he taken that oath, he would have been blocked completely. So now, he did as though, it's a bilkul mazur hai, he is totally excused in the situation, and he can't help it, you see. Now, unfortunately, some places, like in Surat also you'll find, every second, third word, the father is giving it to the son, and the son is giving it to the father. It's like the language. They don't feel anything about it. And the father will say, you know, and he'll pick out his mother, you know. Mother like this, son will say the same thing. And it's quite alright, quite acceptable. No, nobody feels anything about it. But that doesn't mean that this is acceptable. Understand? So this tawbah is not a thing that is done out of convenience. Ye waqti maslihat ke matahat nahi honi chahiye. Daimiti honi chahiye. It must be a thing continuous, constant, all the time. Then you must be firm upon it. Then you can't have your own way. See, I say this now, that tawbah means to take about a turn, a complete turn in your life. Taba wa atubu ilay. I turn towards Allah Ta'ala. So I turned away from the wrong, I turned towards the right. Right, that was a total, complete resolution in my life. So in accordance to how firm you are in your tawbah, you will find the goodness coming in. The support of Allah Ta'ala coming towards you. You must be firm, absolutely firm. Then you can't have your own way. In Kandla, that was the residence of Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh. He is now from the ancestry of the Shaykh al-Hadith, Rahmatullah Alayh, third, fourth generation. So there were two people, middle age or slightly above middle age, playing chess. And that game itself is so consuming, that it's about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, half past 1 at night, and the things just consume them, and they're in the midst of that game. In the meanwhile, one person is craving for the hookah. You know hookah? The pipe, long pipe that you take in. So one person is craving for that, and he heard some footsteps. So he thought that there's some noker, some worker or something going past. So alay falane zara hookah barkar ke le aao. He doesn't know that it was Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah that caught up for tahajjud namaz, is going to make wuzu. And Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib didn't think anything about it. See this, awliya-i-kiram, this is their colors. They don't feel anything about it. In their hearts, in their minds, they feel ke hum to nokar hai, hum to khadim hai. And we are prepared for any type of khidmat. Once, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi asked Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullahi, that Mufti ji, ye log jo ijazat diya karte hai, aapko malum bhi hai ke iska kya matlab? Buzrugan ad-Din and Mashayikh, they give ijazat to their students and to the people that come to them. Do you know what is this giving of ijazat? Mujhe malum nahi hai, aap bataye ki iska kya matlab hota hai. He says that the murid, he does the khidmat of his sheikh, and he goes on doing the khidmat, and he goes on and on to such a level that he reaches that level of ishq. Let's open it. He reaches that point of fana'iyat, that he doesn't look at the day, he doesn't look at the night, and he is consumed by the love of his sheikh, the khidmat, and the comfort, the ease of the sheikh, that is his primary concern. All the time he is concerned about this. So, more than his own ease, is the ease of the Shaykh. More than his own comfort, he is worried and concerned about the ease of his Shaykh. So when he's reached this point, that he is more concerned about the ease and the comfort of the Shaykh, then there are incidents about this. You see, the thing is, we have a problem here. Most of us didn't spend that type of time with our mashayikh, so we do not know the real flavor, the real taste that is required in this. We don't know it. And what we have got, we should be appreciative of. Not that we shouldn't be appreciative of, but we should try and adopt the true colors. Shah Abul Ma'ali Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, his murid was Shah Big, right? And his sheikh used to be called out all the time. Come here, come here, come here. Some nasihat here, some advice here, some dua this side, whatever. Now this Shah Big Sahib, he is fikr and he is concerned. He is concerned for the comfort of his sheikh. So, he knows now the sheikh is such a person, such a magnanimous heart, that he will not have the heart to refuse anybody. Anybody invites, and he's going to respond to that invitation. He's not going to refuse. But, if he's going to be out, then who's going to supplement the income of the house? Who's going to take care? And the house people were such now, they reach such levels of tawakkul that they will not complain, and they will not express their needs to anybody. Now they said, it's a difficult. On this side, they're not expressing their needs to anybody. And on the other end, Shah Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, he's a man with such a generous and magnanimous personality that he doesn't have the heart to refuse any invitation. Invitation comes, he's going here, and he's going here. So he thinks to himself, now, Sheikh ke ghar wale, unke bachcho ka kya hoga? So, quietly what he would do is, he will tell the host, that you see, Sheikh is coming to your place, and he'll be here for a week or so. You want to take care of and make arrangements for his food. Very good. But what about his house people? What arrangements are made for them? So they say, we don't know what to do. So alright, what you do is you prepare a tiffin and I will convey it. I will take it up. Now the Shaykh doesn't know this is an arrangement that is done secretly. In confidence it's done. What he would do is he would do the khidmat of the Shaykh, put him off to sleep. Yeah, he's got the tiffin and he's travelling about 15 to 20 kilometers to go and deliver that food at the Sheikh's residence. On foot, no bicycle that time, he's got no horse, he's nothing. On foot he's traveling 20 kilometers going to deliver that food at the Sheikh's residence. He says to himself, I can't eat that food, how can I eat that food? Well, I know my Sheikh's family is starving, how can I eat that food? How can that food ever be permissible for me? Now you see, that is what is meant by being consumed by their love. So he has to go and deliver the food and come back, and he will just make it around tahajjud time. At tahajjud time, now he's making the khidmat, wuzu, this, that. The Shaykh doesn't feel that he was away. After Isha is gone, 20 kilometers is going on foot and coming back, 40 kilometers, and he just made it for tahajjud. So the Shaykh doesn't know. Later on, after some times, the Shaykh discovered, okay, this is what he was doing behind my back, secretly. The Shaykh was a little bit disappointed. He says, Tune to mere tawakkul mein farq to kar diya. You brought about a difference in my trust in Allah Ta'ala. Baki khidmat ka haq ada kar liya. The type of khidmat that was required, you have done it. You have accomplished the rites of khidmat. So Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah alayhi explains to Mufti Sahib rahmatullah alayhi that when that murid, that student, he does khidmat of the Shaykh to such a level that he finds comfort in the comfort of the Shaykh. And all this is derived from the hadith. Rasulullah Pastor drank milk. As Abu Bakr says, Shariba hatta raditu. Hatta raditu. He drank, but I got happy. He drank and he quenched his thirst. He was hungry. So he was satisfied until I felt happy about it. He's not worried about his own self, what will happen to him, and his discomfort. He is worried about Rasulullah's comfort. See, so that is why you find that Abu Bakr Siddiq is on the highest level of Khilafat. There's nobody that comes up to his level. Umar radiallahu anhu says, ke kaash, ke inka ek raat, ya ek din, mere tamam umar ki ibad ke bajaye, you know, in place of my entire life, that one night that he was in Ghar-e Hira with Rasul, or Ghar-e Thor with Rasulullah Paksasam, one night at with Rasulullah Paksasam is better than Umar's entire life. So you see this khidmat, what it is. This khidmat, what it is. It's not a small thing, it's a very great thing, very, very great thing. And sometimes you should say that those people that are in khidmat, now there is a group of people, most of us are all in ibadat, and there are a group of people that are in khidmat. Now, those that are in khidmat, obviously they're doing it with sincerity, like you are doing ibadat with sincerity, so if you are sincere, we need to have the same type of opinion with those that are in khidmat as well. We can't say that all the sincerity is only with us and these people are just passing time in the kitchen. No, can't say that. They can have the same opinion about us, that we are just passing time here. Right? So like you doing with sincerity, they are also with sincerity. So those that are in khidmat, right, they got a share in everybody's ibadat. Whereas you got your own ibadat only, they got a share in everybody. If there are 100 people or there are 50 people, then in everybody's ibadat they got a share. See? So this khidmat is not a small thing, it's a tremendous thing. This morning as I was thinking, as I went into the kitchen, and I envied those people that were there for that moment. We are eating, we are enjoying ourselves, and this three, four people, whoever it is, they are in that khidmat. But what they are scoring is far than what we can imagine, whatever it is. But what we can do and what we should be doing is do two things: speak good of them, think good of them, and make dua for them. If we can't join them, then this is the minimum requirement, make dua for them, so that we get a share in them as well. If they get a share with us, in our company, if they got a share, then we got a share in their company also. Let's get back at them. We can't now let them go all the way. So the way that we go with them is we talk good of them and make dua for them. So Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi asked Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, do you know what is the meaning of ijazat? He said, no, I don't know. These people in that zamana, they were very simple, basic, down to earth, practical. It was like a different planet that they were living in. Great people, very, very great. You know, if you look at them, their knowledge is so profound. But they are so simple, mujhe maloom nahi. Now, if someone asked us about ijazat, if we don't know about it, we'll try and concoct one answer, some sophisticated philosophical answer we'll give, and we'll try and cover up the situation. But you know, hum jante nahi, we don't know what it is. So he says that when that murid and that student khidmat karte karte apne aap ko fana kar deta hai, yahan tak ke shaykh ki rahat ko apni rahat samajhta hai. He considers the shaykh's comfort as his own comfort. Now then the shaykh, he confers to him that ijazat. To do what? Ke jis tarah se tu ne meri khidmat mein ki, just as you had dedicated yourself to my service, اب پوری اللہ تعالیٰ کی مخلوق کے لئے اسی طرح سے تو خدمت کر. Now you go and offer yourself for the خدمت of all the servants of Allah تعالیٰ. So I'm giving you the اجازت, just as you had dedicated yourself to my خدمت, now you go and dedicate yourself to all the servants of Allah تعالیٰ. This is what the meaning of خدمت. The تصور that we have got, that imagination we have got, خدمت, sit down on place and everybody is coming to make chum cham and all that, you know, kissing his hand and chu cha and all, making them water and all this. That's a different imagination. Someone is giving some gift, someone is giving what. So we have got that impression now, you know, I'll get that respect and this. So we missed the whole boat. We didn't understand what it is. They say, one villager, he was a chaudhary of the town, you see. So the qazi in the place, the judge in the place, he died, you see. Someone had to fill the place. So they asked the villager, can you fill the place? So now I can fill it. He said, how? He said, easy. People will come with their petitions and their problems. I've been watching the qazi. What the qazi was doing, one person comes with a problem, says, manjur. The second person, gair manjur. Yours is approved. Yours is not approved. Yours is approved. Every alternate one is not approved. Every alternate one is not approved. He sanctioned that. That's now the whole qaza, you see. So you just look at the one dimension of it and how it is done. From the surface you look at it and you don't look at the nitty-gritties, how it really works. And obviously you've got the wrong end of the stick, you see. So similarly here, if you just look at it on the surface, looks like a very, very simple thing, you know, nothing complicated. But what it takes and what it requires of you, it's a different thing. That acceptance that Mawlana Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi, his khidmat was proverbial. He went really, if someone had 101 marks out of 100, you know, for khidmat, then it was Mawlana Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi. And that is why Allah granted him so much of acceptance. One friend of mine, he says, he went to Pakistan some 30 years ago. So he met one of the great senior Khalifa of Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he says, whatever differences they may have had, Kabir may have had, but really we have to accept one thing, have to acknowledge one thing, that as far as this madrasas and the ta'lim and the dini structures, you know, putting up and setting up dini structures in the whole of Pakistan, it is the students of this Mawlana Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi that have done this. But then you look at his khidmat. It didn't just happen as a miracle, no. Look at the man's khidmat, what he did, what sacrifices he did, and in lieu of the sacrifices, Allah Ta'ala rewarded him in that way. In lieu of that khidmat, Allah Ta'ala, and khidmat for everybody, not just for himself. Now someone comes to his khanqa, young person, and at 12 o'clock at night, he just finished teaching his Bukhari Sharif. Now imagine, you know, mental work is strenuous, and teaching all the final year kitabs, and when you got such big classes, and then you have to see the type of people. Many are those that are graduated from other madrasas. They are coming because of Hazrat Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi. They are coming here to Deoband to repeat that life last year again. Though they were teachers in their own capacities, now they are coming to do it again. Now Mawlana comes at 12, 1 o'clock, he completes his teaching and he comes at the khanqa. One person, youngster there, and he's sitting sad, feeling very miserable. I asked him, what happened? He says, no, I didn't have my hookah, how can I sleep? I didn't have my hookah. Now imagine someone comes and tells you, no, hey, I didn't have that last spoon, how can I sleep? There's no place I can get my hookah. No, don't worry, I will arrange that hookah for you. Mawlana goes himself, imagine such a great buzrug, he goes himself, arranges that whole hookah, the chilam, everything, cleans it up, puts the tobacco, light it up, give it to him. One day he completes, at that part of the night, imagine that part of the night, he comes, the one villager comes in, he says, mere paas to koi chadar nahi hai, koi kambal nahi hai, kis tarah so sardi mein, in this cold, how can I sleep? So Mawlana gave him all his blanket, everything, and the whole night, imagine he had such a hard day, the whole night he took out his jubba, and in that cold, he just kept himself warm with the jubba. So anybody and everybody, Mawlana did that person's khidmat. And then came that acceptance. That acceptance was on kitab that came out now recently. One resident of Makkah Mukarramah, he says, I had the ziyarat of Nabi Sassam so many times, 20 times, 30 times, 50 times, whatever, he says. But on 15 or 20 occasions, I asked in the Hajj, in other words, in 15 different years, I asked, who is the greatest person on the surface of the earth presently. And every time this Hazrat Mawlana Madani Sahib, Hazrat Mawlana Madani Sahib, so all this comes with this khidmat. See our Mawlana Ibrahim Sahib, right? He may not be an orator like many of the other ulama that are with him. He may not be an orator, but what gave him that acceptance? That 15 years of khidmat, dedicated. He, his wife, everybody, night and day, in hospital, out of hospital. Usne apne raat aur din sab kuch barabar kar diya just for that service, just for that khidmat. So this khidmat, it will definitely bring about that color, that type of acceptance. Now we want that acceptance, but minus the khidmat. When it comes to khidmat, we don't want to do it. So the least thing that is required, the two things that are required of us, you know, at least Allah Ta'ala puts us in that category of the khuddam. One is to make people comfortable that are around us, all right, our neighbor, one that is sleeping in the next tent, we make him comfortable somehow or the other. Make it easy for him. For example, he's resting, we're not talking, right? Or he's resting, we're not reciting Quran Sharif aloud. We're not doing anything that will bring any disturbance to anybody that is around. That is the first thing that we can do. And the second thing, if anybody else is behaving in that way that will be disturbing to us, we take that with a little bit of tolerance. Let him, at least he feels happy about the whole thing. He's reading loudly, alright. He's not supposed to be doing it in the first place. He's not supposed to be doing it in the first place. But if he does it, then we tolerate it. Oh, no, man, inshallah, uska dil khush ho jayega. He'll do something and he'll feel happy about the whole thing. Let him carry on. But uska dil to khush ho gaya hai. He got happy about it. Very good. He's my neighbor after all. I can't do much for him. But the least I can do for him is this much. Though he's not supposed to be doing that. That is wrong. On his end, that is wrong. He's not supposed to be doing that. But if we can't be doing that level of khidmat, I say that at least we can tolerate these people. Anybody for that matter. So the type of mindset we need to have, you see, when we in this khanqah and all that, the type of mindset, the type of dedication, the one thing that I was speaking about earlier on is our focus is on Allah Ta'ala. See, at any time, whether we are in our cubicle, whether we're outside, whether it's night, whether it's namaz, out of namaz, whether we're on the dastarkhan. But deliberately, we don't shift our minds. See now, alright, Mulli Zakaria will come to me, for example. He'll speak something. So I ask him, now, how's your shop now? How's your business? Your car, you change it or not? You know, you need a... So now what has happened? It's a deliberate effort shifting your mind away from Allah Ta'ala for the motor car. I don't say it's sinful. I don't say it's haram. But now you have come here to train your mind, to exercise your mind to be focused in that direction of what Allah Ta'ala must be established. Allah Ta'ala's tasawwur, His greatness, His grandeur, His majesty must be implanted. It must be established within your heart. It must be established so well that right throughout the year thereafter, that same impression must remain in your heart. But in that exercise also, you're not doing it like the way you're supposed to be doing it. It has got a few days. You're not doing it. What's going to happen? We'll go out, it'll last for a few days, that charge, and that feeling will remain for a few days, and then it'll fade away. It'll weaken. Obviously, it'll weaken. So deliberately, we don't speak about anything, we don't discuss anything that will shift our focus from that point. Just Allah Ta'ala, that's all. We talk about anything also, about Allah Ta'ala, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. And then we carry on with our work. So that this impression, this imagination roots in very, very firmly within us at all times. Shah Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullah used to say that we need that type of training to bring about this consciousness and this ihsan into ourselves, into our system. Ki agar hum qasdan wa iradatan bhi agar apne zehen ko wahan se hatane chahte hain to hamara zehen hatna nahi. And even if deliberately we try to remove our focus from that direction, our minds don't move away from that direction, it remains there. So I say you, these are three things that we need to do. One is that we try and make people comfortable. Whichever way, small way, big way, we try and make the others comfortable. Number two, if any inconvenience comes on our end, first of all, I don't say that you must inconvenience anybody. It's not a license. But if it happens, then we take it in that stride. No, man, he did. Uska dil khush ho gaya, uska fi hai. He is happy about the whole thing. Let it be, let it carry on. Right? We don't take that to heart And we don't now make a tafsir on that now. He's come to the khanqa, he doesn't know he's making takleef. And you know, takleef, all his thawab, everything, uski rona khatam ho jayegi, everything will be wiped out. We don't now put our minds on a different tangent, just let it carry on. But we will be conscious, we'll be careful not to hurt anybody in any way, the slightest way, verbally, physically. This is a training. This is a training. Verbally also now, we need to talk to someone. If there's a genuine need, how do we talk to him? Now we think, we understand, we analyze that situation, that if someone spoke to me in this manner, will it be right or not right? Or for example, now this, what I'm going to say, is this going to shift me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? What must I speak and what mustn't I speak, that my focus is not turned away from Allah ta'ala? And how long must I speak? I like his company. Someone's company. Now Imran came, I like his company. He talks something good. My time is passing also, and I'll get excited and I'll get entertained with his company. So I want the talk to be extended, you see. But what is the intention? The intention is that I am taking some enjoyment from his company. Not that I need to talk, see. But I want to extend the talk because of this. So now that focus is going to be shifted. Now this is a very subtle thing, but you need to understand that if we came to train ourselves, so in our cubicle, wherever we are, this focus, Allah Ta'ala is watching. We are seeing Allah Ta'ala. That's the right thing to do, that we are seeing Allah Ta'ala. But we can't for some reason feel like that Allah Ta'ala is watching us. Then the least that we can do is, at least we are watching Allah Ta'ala. If we can't do this, then Allah Ta'ala is watching us. So anyway, we're talking of this person that was in the khanqa. Right? So these are three things that we need to do. One is khidmat, right? And I explained about that. And the second was how we should be conducting ourselves, mindset, what it should be. So, anyway, Mullah Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he filled that chilam or that hookah, whatever it is, he brought it. Now, these people, whilst they were playing, one person has turned. Acha, ye to Mullah Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Damat Barakatum, he's such a buzrug, and he went and did this. Now hamare liye ya kandla mein rehna ab haram ho gaya. Now for us to remain here now is haram. We can't carry on like this. This stupidity and this madness of ours, it must come to an end. Sab kuch, he broke the chest, everything, threw it away, and he came to Gango. Now these are all influential people, wealthy people, influential people, and now he comes to Gango in the Khanqa, and he's going through some difficult times. Do this, don't do this, eat this type of simple food, whatever. Mullah Yahya Rahmatullah Alayh, he is the Muntazim in Gango, you know, taking care of the affairs, all the affairs of Mullah Gango Rahmatullah. Mullah Yahya Sahib Rahmatullah, he is solely and he is largely responsible for all that. Now he knows this, and he knows him to be a distant uncle, you see. Not immediate uncle, but a distant uncle. So Mullah Yahya Sahib saw this person here in this difficulty, and he's comparing this old man's past life, what a comfortable, relaxed, enjoyable life he had. He's looking at his affluence and wealth, and he's looking at the past comfortable life that he had. And now this man here, he's looking at him in the khanqa with all the difficulty, all the constraints, and all what's going on here, you see. So as a way of sympathy and as a way to make it easy for this man, yeah? So he said, Mamu, agar yahan par aapka kaam hote huye, aapke kaam ke hote huye, agar koi taakhir ho gayi, to dil ko bura na karna. In getting your work accomplished, you come here for your islah, reformation, correction, etc. But in the process of you achieving that and accomplishing that maqsad of yours, if there is a delay, then don't lose heart. Then don't lose heart. So that man, like I said just now, these people are very straightforward and clean people, very, very clean. He says, Are londe, mujhe samjhane ke liye aaye hain. Londe is like how you say lighty, you know. It's like a slang word there. You come to explain this to me. You know, in all the stupidity of minds, maine to 55 saal isme laga diye the. I spent 55 years of my life in all the stupidity and nonsense. Really, I need to spend 55 years here to square up against the stupidity and the wrong that I was doing. After that, I must look, I must imagine, and I must think about some good picture after that, you know, some progress. I can only think of any progress after that 55 years of compensation. I will square up with the wrong that I have done. You see the mindset. Now this is called Tawbah. Complete turn. Complete. You're turning and you're turning completely. So many years been involved in what. And now you're taking a total turn away from the wrong. You're coming onto the right. But now he's got such a strong sense of judgment, sense of justice, that he says, no, I must, if I think of any progress, I think of any good, then I must think of that good and that progress only after 55 years of sacrifice. So the type of determination the man came with, you see. Now this is what Allah Pak likes. And this is what captures that admiration and acceptance of Allah Ta'ala. He's come with such a heart. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah Pak speaks about him. إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ came to Allah Ta'ala with a sound heart. This is what is called a sound heart. See. And it's because of this that Allah Ta'ala speaks in praise of him. If he just came, he just turned towards Allah Ta'ala. Right? Then Allah Ta'ala wouldn't have spoken to him in these words. إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ And when a person comes in that way, جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ Allah Ta'ala's promise, Inni ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي Your work is to turn to Allah Ta'ala. In the manner that I've explained, whole complete turn towards Allah Ta'ala. I was doing this wrong, I was doing this wrong, my tongue was not right, my eyes was not right, my ears wasn't right, my heart wasn't right, my limbs weren't right, I was doing everything wrong. But now I need to take a turn. And the turn must be such that Allah Ta'ala must endorse it. Ibrahim A.S. took, he came in that direction, not that he was wrong, but for our understanding, what for our understanding Allah Ta'ala explains it, is Ja'a Rabbah. We came completely, absolute, you know, complete submission. Now you can imagine now that Anbiya and the Nabi, the level of his submission. You see, when a Nabi speaks about submission, it's at a different plane, it's a different level. Now he says, for example, Ibrahim A.S. says in his dua, Rabbana ij'alna muslimaini lak. Allah Ta'ala, let us surrender to you. Let us surrender to your will completely, right? And Dawud and Sulaiman al-Islam say, وَأَدْخِلْنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ Admit us into your pious servants. You must make us pious also. So if they are talking of piety and submission, they are talking of submission and piety of a very, very high level. That is beyond our imagination, beyond what we can think of, beyond our perception, very high. They are already, I mean, by birth they are pious. They have submitted themselves by birth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they are asking Allah ta'ala for the highest level. Highest level of submission and the highest level of piety. This is what they are asking for. So this is also a lesson to us that at any level of submission, we shouldn't become complacent. See that Ibrahim al-Islam is constructing the Kaaba Sharif, but what dua is making Allah ta'ala? Let us surrender to you. Let us be submissive. I was thinking namaz, one easy way, you know, some easy ways, Ramzan, barakat of Ramzan, a lot of easy methods come to your mind. When you're going into sajda, then with this frame of mind, Allah, I'm submitting myself to you entirely. Allah, I submit my whole body, my eyes, my ears, my tongue. Allah, let me remain in this submission until death. Like that dua, Tawaffana Muslimin. Tawaffana Muslimin. Allah Ta'ala, take us in the state of total submission. So when you are going that, Allah Ta'ala, let us remain in the submission of yours entirely. Our heads, our limbs, our body, everything of ours internally, externally, let us remain in your total submission. Okay? So you're going into sajda but with that frame of mind. The other thing that was coming to my mind in this Ramadan, barakat of Ramadan, is the very essence of namaz. What is the essence of namaz? Allah knows best, right? But to me it seems Surah Fatiha seems to be like the very essence of namaz, right? If I tell you concentrating the entire namaz, you'll find it difficult, right? Concentrating the entire namaz. But I'm sure it's easy for all of us to have this level of concentration. That Surah Fatiha is actually a dua, right? And in dua, normally, we can have our hearts focused, right? Making dua, it's not so difficult. So for the duration of that namaz, for the duration of that Surah Fatiha, whilst that Surah Fatiha is being recited, right, we have our hearts totally focused. Then there must be no interruption in the focus. The focus must be total, Surah Fatiha, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in the Surah Fatiha, what is the very, very essence, you know, you say essence, like shahad ke andar uski, uska khulasa kya hai? Shirini, right? The sweetness is the very essence. The milk, the whiteness is the essence, right? Are you extracting the sweetness out? So there's no honey. You're extracting the whiteness out, there's no milk, see? So what is the very essence of Surah Fatiha? The very essence of Surah Fatiha, Allah Pak knows best, again I say, but it seems like إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That's the in-between, you see. The first few verses, you're praising Allah Ta'ala. It's like an introduction, you know, when you're writing a letter to the government or something, to some important office, you're writing a letter, your presidency and your honor, all that, right? And then you say, you put your request before Allah Ta'ala. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Our whole lives are dedicated for your service. When you say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, what do you say? We are dedicated for you. And we have got nowhere else to turn to for assistance. It's the only way, the only refuge, the only sanctuary that we have got is yourself. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. There's nowhere else. Is there anywhere else? Is there any other sanctuary? Is there any other protection? Is there any other assistance that we can think of? So, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. This is the very essence of Surah Fatiha. So, this Surah Fatiha, at least we can think of it, you know. On the one end, like I had said earlier on, that when we're reciting that Surah Fatiha, thinking now, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The whole world, the whole universe, the creator of the universe. Today, now it's a dialogue. It's between me and the creator of the universe. So I'm so honored to be here today that I can speak to the creator of the universe in direct. In life I can talk to him. I'm talking to him in life. I'm talking directly. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Standing before him. And you are supporting your petition. Your petition and your request, your iltimas and your request. You know, you're putting forward a request. So you supporting it. How are you supporting it? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. You are most gracious, Allah Pak. You are most gracious, more than what we can imagine. Most merciful. Can you see? You are supporting it, isn't it? When you are saying that you are most gracious, you are saying, in actual fact, you are saying, Allah Ta'ala, there isn't a thing that you will say no to. You will accept everything. See? We are most deficient. We are most deficient. And you are most gracious. And you are most complete, you are most comprehensive, you are complete, absolutely perfect. Alhamdulillah. Right? And then you say, Maliki Yawmiddin. So, you say that the creator of the universe, the lord of the universe, the master of the universe, and the master of the day of judgment. So both worlds are in his hands. So there's no way to escape. There's no way to escape. If it was with death, you know, death was an end to our problems, then you could have said something. But there is no way to escape. In this world, then he is the master. In the hereafter, then he is the master. He is the one that is in authority, full authority. In fact, that authority of his will be manifest. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. Here, his authority is manifest, but you need to think a little bit about it. You will see his authority. And there you will see it. Without you thinking also, you will see that it is his authority that runs. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. Right. So when Allah Ta'ala is in control both this universe as well as of that plane, you have praised him and you said exactly what he is. Right. He's got everything under control. Everything taped, he's got it. He's got it under control. Absolute authority. Absolute influence of Allah Ta'ala subjected to him. He enslaved to Allah Ta'ala. Then you are saying, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Then that means the khulasa, in other words, the conclusion. What is the conclusion? When you are in total control of this universe, absolute control, you are influencing the hereafter, there's nobody else can have any influence there. Then The only resolution, the only option, only solution I've got is I render all my service to you. And every petition, every need, every requirement of mine, I present it before you. Right? Then you petition Allah Ta'ala, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. When you say اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, it's such a dynamic dua this. You know, really I'm telling you, it's not just flowery language, it's a real dynamic dua this. When you're saying اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, what you are really saying, you know what you are saying? You are saying to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that in the hereafter, definitely I know that I can only come right by your guidance and by your instruction. Only with your guidance I can come right. But even in this world, it's just with your guidance that things can come right. If it's not your guidance, mine is your guidance, I'll try 101 thing. Yeah? I'll try the JSE, you know. This market, I play that one, that one. Nothing will work out. But you guided me. Whatever I will do, it will be supported, it will be covered with your support. That is, provided it's your guidance. You are guiding me through and through. Do this, don't do this, go here, don't go here, do this business, don't do that business, buy this, don't buy that. See? So if I'm supported with your guidance, see? I'm supported with your guidance, the most complicated thing will become absolutely easy. I was trying to wonder how to do this thing here. You know, many times it happens that a work that will normally take 1 month, 2 months, and you got the guidance of Allah Ta'ala, 5 minutes time, it's over, it's through, you got it. Now, it's not your achievement, it is Allah Ta'ala's hand that was in it. Allah Ta'ala said, alright, just do this, and it comes right. Now, other people are puzzled, it takes us months to get into this type of conclusion. How we got it right? But it's not my achievement, it's the man above, the one that's above. He just put into my mind, do this, don't do this, do it like this, don't do it like that, that I got it right. So, for every need, every necessity, every type of problem related to this life, related to that life, He is the solution. When He is the solution, then you're saying, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And the solution comes if He has given you that guidance. He showed you must do this. In an examination room, He's telling you, write like this. Don't write like that, write like this. When you are driving, drive like this. When you are working, do this type of work. When you are doing your purchases, do this purchases. When you are in the dasturkhan, eat like this. You will be healthy. Even that health guide also Allah will give it to you. Eat like this. You are traveling now, take these things, don't take these things. Right? You are with your partner, that she said something, now this is what you must say. Even in that discreet moment, He will tell you, Allah will guide you, that you don't say this. You say this, you will be in a problem just now. You just do what I'm telling you. Allah will put in your heart that do this. Say this. Imagine, every way is His direction. He's leading you across. But you need to have your heart in that Surah Fatiha. What? That whole life of your Surah Fatiha. His glory, His praises. Allah will definitely, I can't do without your assistance. You guide me. See? Hamari taraf se, abdiyat ko pura kar dena chahiye, aur hukuk-e rububiyat ko pura kar dena chahiye. That is the khulasa of our lives. What? Abdiyat, what is abdiyat? Servitude. We need to perfect it. Try to perfect. We can't do it. But try to perfect that servitude. And hukuk-e rububiyat. When He is the master, He is the nourisher, He is the cherisher, then He has some rights, obviously. It's your shop, right? You the owner, you the one that is putting the money in my hand. Definitely you have some rights over me. You have some rights over me. So this is Allah Ta'ala's world. It's His factory. It is His, uska karkhana hai. It is His factory. He is paying me, He is seeing to me. When He is seeing to me, هُوَ الَّذِي يُطْئِمُونِي وَيَسْقِينَ وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينَ. The beginning also He has brought me about. He is feeding me, He is doing everything. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. He is taking care of my medical aid also. What? My medical aid? He is my medical aid. See, that is why it's not good to go too much in the asbab. I don't say we don't take asbab, but too much in the asbab, then we forget Allah Ta'ala. Now you see, Ibrahim al-Islam is saying what? He is my medical aid. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. He is my medical aid. And if you don't have that mindset, then who's your medical aid? Oh, this insurance. Hey, kya hoga? What will happen? Now you get a shock, you get panic. Kya hoga? What happened? You know, heart attack. ¼ million rand you need to have. So you need to have some cover, backup and all that. And what he is saying, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. He is the one that I need to see to. So he is in charge of me at the beginning, at the end. Right? So when he is in charge of me, things will only come right if he is directing me at every step of my life. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Right? So as though you are clinging now, you know, in your Surah Fatiha you have this imagination, you are holding, what? Allah, please guide me, what? Please, you take care of me. You are holding to the robe of His mercy, what? One is the robe of Izzat, right? And now to the robe of His mercy, you are holding. You are holding firmly, Allah, you look after me. In that frame of mind, Allah, please keep me with the rest of the pious people, Alamta alayhim, people that you have favored, the rest of them, Allah, keep me also. Not that you are pious, but Allah, they are the pious people, Allah, let me be with them. Allah, please save me, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَضَّالِينَ. So with that frame of mind, what? Allah, I'm holding to your robe, to your garment of mercy. You know, he spoke about Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim and Malik Yawm al-Din. So he is the Lord, he is the Master, he is the end of everything, right? هُوَ الْأَوَّلْ وَالْآخِرْ وَالظَّاهِرْ وَالْبَاطِنِ. He is the end of everything, he is the beginning of everything. So you're holding to the robe of his, to the robe and to the garment of his mercy. But hold me, keep me until I meet you. But until I meet you, after I've met you and you put me into Jannah, then everything is over. Then I'll be always in your mercy. But Allah, just keep me like this. So that's what I feel, that Surah Fatiha is the very essence of the entire Salah. If we can only try and make ourselves understand, but that, alright, I can't do this for the entire duration of the Salat, but at least Surah Fatiha, let me try and do this, let me try and train myself for the duration of Surah Fatiha, I'll keep that type of concentration and that type of frame of mind only for the Surah Fatiha. I'll tell you in advance, I'll tell you, if you do it, you will feel within your heart that your dua has been answered. But do it for every rakat. That do it for, you'll feel that you have just been filled up, you know, like a tank was empty and just now it got filled up, right? You will feel you are empty and you just got filled up. But then just do it for that moments of Surah Fatiha. If the Imam is performing Zuhr or Asr Salah or the last two rakats of Isha, then also do it in your mind. Same Surah Fatiha, do it in your mind. Rather than your mind wandering around, and you try and explain yourself, it's only for Surah Fatiha that I'll keep this concentration. After that, Allah Ta'ala Malik, Allah Ta'ala will take care. But at least let me try this much. If I can't do that concentration for the entire duration, at least this much let me do it. And I'm sure all of us, whether Alim, whether Mulana or not Mulana, all of us more or less we know, we got the understanding of Surah Fatiha. It's so simple, so basic. You know, it's the plan of Allah Ta'ala, the law of Allah Ta'ala. The thing that is most needed, He makes it most freely available. So the Surah Fatiha is most needed for us, all of us. It's like the whole Quran Sharif encapsulated, right? It's the entire Quran Sharif encapsulated in Surah Fatiha, right? So Allah Ta'ala made it so easy. I think every child also understands the translation of Surah Fatiha. At least this much in Salah, at least for this duration, this moments, we have our minds focused. You will see that response of Allah Ta'ala, that answer of Allah Ta'ala is coming direct. It's coming. So today we are speaking about Tawbah. And I said, the Tawbah is not a thing of convenience. You know, that business is not working out. Allah Ta'ala, I did something wrong, so Allah, please forgive me. Just because the business wasn't right, therefore you're making Tawbah. Right? Is that right now? Is that relationship right? Just because the business wasn't right, therefore you are making Tawbah. If the business was going, was flourishing, everything was working out well, would you have made that Tawbah? You wouldn't have made that Tawbah. Or just because the relationship with the family or the father or whoever, wife or whatever, that's not working out, so you are turning to Allah Ta'ala. As a matter of convenience, because of your own personal convenience, your personal things, now, even then Allah Ta'ala is so gracious, then to say, alright, no, man, you are a banda hai. This may be a starting point in his life, you know, I'll give him a break. He's turning, even this turning, Allah Ta'ala is accepting it. Though the mindset that we are turning what is not right. Allah Ta'ala, I need to turn to you because I need to turn to you. There's no other place, there's no other way. I need to turn to you. Whether my factory is working, my business is working, whether the things in the house are working out or not working out, but the fact that you are my creator, you are my Lord, you are my master, you are everything to me, I need to turn to you, I can't go anywhere else. Is there any other sanctuary, is there any other place, is there any other refuge? No, no refuge, no sanctuary, no protection. So I need to go towards you, Allah. So this is tawbah, right? I say that tawbah is not convenience, it's not a short term thing. For a few days I did the tawbah and everything is, it's a permanent thing, it's a constant thing, it's a continuous thing. It's not that, not for that day, for the 2 days, not a short term, it's a permanent thing. That mind needs to be there. Whatever business, whatever work we are doing, but our whole focus, our whole attention, our whole heart and soul is in that direction. Our heart is in that direction, mind is in that direction, the soul is in that same direction. Now Allah Pak says, إِذَا وَإِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. But Allah Pak says, Allah has promised now, when you turn like this, سَيَهْدِينَ. Now, He is answering you. He is responding. What? You turned, right? You turned and you said, إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. Complete, I'm turning. So Allah is now responding. He's answering that petition of yours, that request. Say, don't worry, my servant. Now I will show you. I will take you around. You have come to me like this. I will take you around. I will take you. You wanted a little bit of a direction. I will hold your hand and I will take you around. One is like I tell you, go straight, take a left turn, right turn, and you'll reach the masjid. And the other is now, Allah is saying, no, I'll take you. I'll hold you by your hand and I will take you. In other words, there's nothing you need to fear about. The way, the dangers, and whatever you have on the road, don't worry about it. I am holding your hand. But what you need to do is, إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. Your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, physically, spiritually, in every respect, you are turning in that direction. And Allah Pak will say, سَيَهْدِي. My banda, mere banda, main tujhe tere haath ko pakad karke le jata hu. I'm holding your hand, and I will take you through all the difficulties, trials, constraints, problems. I will take you, I will bring you to your goal, to your final goal, to your final abode. I'll bring you to it. So this is tawbah. This is the very essence of tawbah. Allah Ta'ala grant it to me, grant it to all of us.